I'd like to start out by saying that when the preparations were begun for the preaching schedule for February, I was asked to do a Sunday school message for one of the Sundays. And I asked for the last Sunday in February so I'd have time to prepare. And as you can see, I'm here today, the first Sunday in February. So I had about 8 days to put together a message, so I decided I would talk about the subject of anxiety. And so today, my message is titled, My Heart Will Not Fear, and it's taken from Psalm 127. Let me take us before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of gathering together to worship you. We thank you that we live in a country where we're free to proclaim your word boldly and without fear. And we thank you that we have your word in our own language, that we can understand it. We thank you that we have your Holy Spirit to illumine it for us. And how I pray today that as your word goes out, that it would be used mightily of you for the edification of the saints, for the comfort, and for the uplifting of those who hear it. And I just pray that you would allow me to be able to do so in a way which is honoring to you. And thank you that we have the privilege of doing this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, we'll be looking at Psalm 27 today. And what I wanted to look at is how we can replace anxiety and fear with courage and confidence based on God's person, on his presence, his protection, and his promises. So as we consider Psalm 27, we should understand that David, King David, was certainly no stranger to uncertainty and anxiety during many of the times in his life. And here in Psalm 27, he speaks of evildoers intent on devouring him, adversaries and enemies seeking his destruction, armies facing him, and war rising against him. His closest and most trusted companions might forsake him. False witnesses accost him, and there are enemies breathing violence against him. Now, I can't say that I have ever faced difficulties such as those that are described in this psalm, but I think each and every one of us has faced or is dealing with anxiety in some form. There are numerous reasons why sometimes we might be anxious and afraid. And just like King David, we're not immune from care and worry. We can get caught up in our situation. We can feel the pressures of the world. And we can sometimes find ourselves giving in to fear and anxiety. If we take our eyes off of Christ, if we look away from the Word of God, if we don't avail ourselves of the gift of prayer, if we instead focus on our circumstances, we can find ourselves swallowed up by anxiety. Those in the world around us are consumed by it, and with good reason. If we look at the circumstances of life under the curse, it's a life without hope. Apart from God, and apart from His loving kindness, apart from the salvation found in Christ alone, life on this earth is painful and frightening. The causes for anxiety and fear can be overwhelming, and the pressures that cause stress and worry are unrelenting. Every day reveals new causes for worry, new reasons for fear, and new sources of stress and anxiety. As Christians, however, we don't need to succumb or wallow in fear and anxiety that plagues those who live apart from the Word of God. We serve a risen Savior, and by His mercy, through His kindness and grace, we can have a peace that passes understanding. We have a resource in trouble. We have an anchor in the stormy gale. We have a mighty fortress in the midst of the raging battle. We have access to a source of courage and confidence that the world does not know. Our Savior brings peace. He has told us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." His word guides us and directs us. When we are anxious as Christians, we know what to do about it. We know where to go to find rest, comfort, and peace, regardless of what our circumstances might be. So today, as we look at Psalm 27, we will be reminded of the resources we have to manage fear and anxiety in our lives. So in verses 1 through 3, we'll see confidence amidst anxiety. But before I begin, let me point out, if you're looking at the outline, I've deliberately used the word amidst. It means in the middle of. David doesn't ask in this psalm for his dangers to disappear or his problems to be removed or taken away. He asked for God's protection in the midst of them, and he trusted God in his circumstances. It's not wrong to ask for these things to be removed from us, but oftentimes we know that God brings trials and tribulations into our lives for a purpose. And sometimes he chooses not to remove them. We then, like David, should seek to find peace and comfort amidst the tribulations. So verses 1 through 3, we see confidence amidst anxiety. Psalm 27, verse 1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One source of anxiety is fear of loss or harm. And Christians are not immune to this. Bad things don't happen only to bad people. I'm sure we've all heard the question asked, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? We can't always know his purposes or why he allows certain events in our lives. Sometimes he allows things which cause us sorrow and grief, pain and suffering. Even when we aren't currently in such a trial, we can find ourselves anxiously worrying, what if something bad happens? What if we lose a loved one? What if we were to be involved in an accident, suffer a devastating financial loss, have a serious medical issue, fail in our job or responsibilities? These kinds of troubles are very real, and any of us could find ourselves in a situation such as this at any time. What do we do when the fear of loss or harm creeps in? Where should our confidence be when we face anxiety and fear? David says here that the Lord is my light and my salvation. And notice that this is personal and intimate. He is my light, my salvation. Light lets us see. It illumines our path. It gives guidance and direction. It casts away darkness. And salvation is deliverance. We have a Savior. We have one who delivers us from the guilt of sin, from the fear and anxiety we face, from the enemies before us, and from the adversities that are inherent in living in a sin-cursed world. Whom shall I fear? No one can come between the Lord and his loved ones. No one can snatch us out of his hand. If God is for us, who is against us? He is the defense of our life. Regardless of the danger or the circumstances, he defends us. He is all-powerful, he is all-knowing, and he is strong to save. Whom shall I dread? There is no one stronger. There is no one who can overpower him. There is no one who can frustrate his plans or overcome his will or break the protection that he provides. Notice also in verse 2, the past tense of the verb, when evildoers came upon me. David is recalling here the goodness and protection of God in times past, remembering his character and promises. Our past experiences, as we have proven God's faithfulness, reminds us of his loving kindness and his faithfulness to see us through our current situation, our current circumstances. Notice also that the magnitude and the power of the adversary is irrelevant to our Lord. It may seem gigantic in our sight, but not to him. He is sovereign over all, and nothing is too great or too much for him. Even though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. By knowing him, by understanding his power, by recalling his faithfulness and mercies, we can set aside fear, uncertainty, and doubt. The one who loves us has provided for our salvation, and he is in control of all of our circumstances, no matter how big or how small they might be. In him, we can be confident, not in our own strength, not in our own wisdom or power, but in him alone. When we are in a fearful or anxious situation, we should find confidence in our Lord. When we feel insecure, we find the source of security in him alone. So rather than panic, we can find stability and courage. He is our shield and our defender. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. As I stated earlier, we aren't always removed from the danger or the source of the anxiety, but rather we find courage, confidence, peace, and security in our Lord, even in the midst of our situation and circumstances. He is the one who gives the strength, the endurance, and the ability to weather the tempest. He gives confidence and peace, regardless of circumstances. David doesn't say that his confidence was that God would take it all away. His confidence was in the one who could protect him through it. He knew that God was the one who could confound his enemies, the one who is Lord over heaven and earth. The danger was still there, but the fear was removed, replaced by a settled confidence in God's protection. There's no circumstance beyond his ability to handle. We may be confident regardless of our situation, whatever the cause of our fear or anxiety. When we focus on him, we find confidence through faith. So the next section, we see clarity amidst anxiety. Psalm 27:4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. So have you ever felt overloaded, swamped, burnt out? It's very easy in today's hyper-stimulated environment to feel overwhelmed with everything that we're flooded with. We can be inundated with demands for our time. We can take on too many responsibilities and feel like it's more than we can handle. We can feel like everything is spinning out of control. We can get to the point where it's difficult to focus on any one thing because there's so much to do and so much going on around us. We feel like we're being pulled in every direction at once. We also have a constant stream of inputs from social media, email, news shows. We're always connected these days with our phones, our computers, our cars, our smartwatches, electronic billboards, and numerous other sources. We're constantly bombarded with information, much of which is designed to get our attention or demand a response by creating a sense of urgency, uncertainty, fear, and doubt. How can we find clarity in the midst of the chaos? David here asks for one thing only, the one thing that he would seek, and that's to be in God's presence. Regardless of the chaos around him, there was one thing of utmost importance to David. He wouldn't allow his attention to be divided. When the host camped against him, when his enemies were seeking to kill and destroy him, his desire was to be in the house of the Lord, to be filled with the beauty, peace, and comfort of his Creator. Notice that he asked for this from the Lord. This is the correct response to trial. We ask in faith, and we receive from his hand. Notice, too, that David didn't just ask. He also determined to actively seek. He asked from the Lord, but he also put in the effort to achieve his desired goal. David's one desire, his primary request, the one thing that he would diligently seek, was to be in God's presence, to focus solely on him, near to his God. And it wasn't just on Sunday morning at 10:45, right? He wanted all the days of his life, every day, all the time. He never wanted to have to leave. He desired to behold the beauty of the Lord. So when our lives are in turmoil, when everything around us is mayhem and havoc, is it our heart's one desire to be in God's presence and to behold his beauty? What better way is there to find peace and calm than in our Savior's presence, beholding his beauty? He is lovely, and our highest aim should always be to appreciate him, to worship and adore him. Like David, we should desire to meditate in his temple, to contemplate his word, to set aside the cares of the world, the fears and the distractions, and fill our mind with him, with his word. We should be focused on him and not our circumstances. In the day of trouble, and we all have troubles in varying degrees, the scale and magnitude of our trouble is irrelevant to Almighty God. David is confident that the Lord will conceal him in his tabernacle, hide him from his enemies who seek his destruction, protect him from the cares and concerns of the world. Notice the threefold layers of protection here. He will conceal me in his tabernacle, and not just anywhere, but in the secret place of his tent, and he will lift me up on a rock. David is confident that he will be well protected, hidden from his enemies, safe and secure. He will be lifted up on a rock, above the tumult and chaos, above the churning firestorm, on a firm and solid foundation, placed securely on Christ, the solid rock. Notice that it is God who lifts. It's God who hides and protects. It is his tabernacle, his tent. It's not our work or effort. We don't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. He puts us in a safe and secure place. hidden from danger. When we are safe in his tent, firm upon the rock, what is our response to be then? Let us also, just like David, offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. Let us worship the one who saves and find joy in his salvation. Let us sing praises to the one who protects us, regardless of and in spite of whatever our circumstances might be. We owe everything to him. When our lives are filled with chaos, in his presence we can find peace. When we're overloaded, we can find simplicity and focus in him. When we are distracted and restless, and all manner of anxiety presses on us, we, like David, should desire to be with him, to be concealed in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent, and resting on the solid rock. Whenever we're feeling unsafe or under threat, we should turn our focus to him. We should flee into his presence, for only there can we rejoice, worship, sing, and find joy, regardless of our circumstances. He should always be our priority, our focus, and our desire. Psalm 94:19 says, "When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul." In the next section, verses 7 to 10, we'll see communion amidst anxiety. Psalm 27:7. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I shall seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up." Sometimes our anxieties can stem from relationships. Getting along with other sinners is a difficult task. Those we trust most can fail us. We experience conflicts, strained relationships in our homes and families, with our friends, with our acquaintances, in the workplace, and yes, even here at church. Relationships can be the cause of much anxiety. And anxiety and stress can also come from guilt or shame. As we think of our failures, our past mistakes, our regrets, and the fear of the consequences of our sin, unresolved sin in our lives can cause us much anguish, and the fear of having our secrets exposed can cause considerable distress. What then is our response to such pressure? David says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice." Along with desiring to be in the presence of the Lord, we should take our anxieties and fears to him in humble prayer. David didn't have self-reliance. He had trust and dependence on God alone. When everyone around him failed or abandoned him, he had faith in his God to deliver him. And his immediate action was to go to him in prayer. He cried out. This was no passive or indifferent act. He was determined and committed. He was begging the Lord to be gracious to him and answer him. David eagerly brought his supplication to the Lord. He relied on the word of God. "When you said," and what did the Lord say? "Seek my face." We were exhorted to come boldly before the throne of grace. What was David's response to the word of God when he said, "Seek my face"? David exclaims that "my heart said." His response came from the very depths of his being. It was his heart that responded to the call of God. This isn't outward compliance or grudging obedience, but a heart of desire to do God's will, a firm determination to seek his face. This is joyful obedience. David here is faithful to the calling. Seeking is an active process, a search for something with the goal of finding it. He's not waiting to be shown. He's vigorously searching. And what was David's prayer here? Do not hide your face from me. David's desire was to be heard, to be seen, and to know that the Lord hears his prayer. And do not turn your servant away in anger. We sin, we fail, we fall short of the glory of God, but he is gracious and merciful and has promised in his Son that he will never leave us or forsake us. He is long-suffering and patient. David's prayer is to remain in God's presence and in his grace. He's saying, please, don't turn me away, even though I deserve it. You have been my help. We need him. We need his help. Everything that we have is from him. And apart from him, we can do nothing. We must rely entirely upon him and his guidance and his provision. David cries out, do not abandon me, nor forsake me. Without him, we are undone and without hope. We must fully cast ourselves upon his mercy and compassion and trust in his loving kindness and faithfulness. David calls him the God of my salvation. Our hope, our faith, is fully upon him. There is salvation in no other. There is no other name under heaven by which we might be saved. David exclaims that my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. He is faithful always, even if the ones we trust most fail us. Even those we consider to be the closest to us, the most reliable people in our lives, can forsake us. He does not. Our trust and our faith must always be in him alone, and not in those who are around us. He says, the Lord will take me up. The Hebrew verb here for take up is asaph, which means to gather, collect, receive, draw close, or bring in. David's confidence is that even if the most profound relationships we have in this life fail us, he will gather us under his wing. He will take us into his protection. He will receive us to himself. David's confidence is in the Lord and not in anything or anyone else. When we're anxious because of relationships, when tensions arrive because of those we live or work with, when we face uncertainty of the future, and we feel like we're losing control, we should do as David has done here. We must cry out to the Lord. We must seek his face. We must make our request to him and have confidence and trust in our perfect Savior. He knows the future. He knows our weaknesses and worries. He knows that we are but dust. He cares for us. He loves us. And he showers us with grace and mercy. We find peace and rest, regardless of our circumstances, through communion with him. By unloading our burdens on him, by surrendering to his will and his plan, and by faith and trust in the one who cannot fail, in God who does all things well, we find peace in communion with him who works all things together for good for those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. Philippians 4:6 tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And in Psalm 55, verse 22, it reads, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. In the final section of the psalm, we see the courage amidst anxiety, starting in Psalm 27:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Anxiety can arise from uncertainty about current events, about what's going to happen in the future. Will I stay healthy? Will I suffer an illness or a medical condition? Will I lose my job? Will I be able to pay my bills? Is the world around me descending into chaos with rampant moral decay and civil unrest dominating the news constantly? Are we safe and secure in our homes, at our job, in our church? We get anxious because these things are out of our control. We can't stop them. We can't fix or manage the problems. And we don't know what is going to happen next. We are all susceptible to anxiety and fear in the face of the unknown. So what, as Christians, should our response be? Where can we find courage to stand in the face of fear and anxiety? With all the adversity David was facing, what was his desire? Teach me your way, O Lord. I want to know more about you. I want to know the right way to go. I want to know what you would have me to do. I want to do it your way and not my way. I noted earlier that David leaned on his past knowledge and experience of the Lord's activities to give him confidence. Here, he asked the Lord to teach him his ways. David wanted an even greater understanding and knowledge to bolster his faith and trust. He asked the Lord, lead me in a level path. We need desperately his guidance, his direction. He alone can make the rough path straight and smooth. We should seek his leading because of foes, because of circumstances and situations beyond our control, because of enemies working tirelessly against us, seeking our harm, seeking to lead us astray. We must depend on the Lord to guide us and lead us and keep our path straight and level. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what does it say? He will make your paths straight. David asked the Lord, do not deliver me over to the desire of my enemies. Lord, protect me, save me, foil their plans, and do not allow the schemes of my adversaries to succeed. God is in control. We can't control our circumstances, but he is Lord of all. He states that false witnesses have risen against me. David is here being wrongfully accused. Liars and cheaters are spreading malicious falsehoods, trying to bring him harm or perhaps damage his reputation, and they breathe out violence. Destruction and violence are as natural to them as the air they breathe. What can a person do in the face of this kind of hate and hostility? David said that he would have despaired. His enemies were so powerful, his circumstances so dire, that he would have slipped into despair unless he believed, unless he had faith, and unless his faith was anchored correctly, fixed upon the Lord his God. Faith is an encouragement. It is a source of strength, endurance, and perseverance. Faith is a lifeline that allows us to disregard our circumstances, dismiss their power and strength, and ignore the lies and threats. David was confident that he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God's mercies and loving kindness are ours right now, in this life, here today. We're certainly waiting for that day when we will be glorified, when we will see him as he is and be with him forever. But here and now, we have a confident faith that he takes care of us. Every day, every moment, we see his goodness. We enjoy his mercy and kindness. We find comfort, hope, and joy in Him. Rather than fall into despair over the extent of our anxieties or the power of the enemy, we should trust in the sovereign Savior. And finally, David offers us this exhortation: wait for the Lord. Be patient. Await His timing, His purpose. Don't try doing it your way, in your own power. Don't rush His timing or push your agenda. Be still and know that He is God. Find calmness in His good timing. Have faith, trust, and put yourself completely in His care. Wait for Him. When we're anxious and distressed, having patience is difficult. We want to fix the problem, put the worries behind us, resolve the conflict, restore the damage, recover the loss, repair the relationship, regain control, reduce the demands, flee to safety. When we're anxious and harried, when we are panicky and frustrated, we want action, immediate resolution. The exhortation here is to be strong and take courage and wait for Him. He is our protector. He is our priority. We go to Him in prayer and we bring our petition before Him. We leave our burdens with Him and then we wait patiently for Him. He does all things well. His timing is perfect. There's real peace to be found in just knowing that our lives are in His hands and under His control. We don't need to be the one in control. We don't need to be the one who knows the future. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to fear what might come to pass. We don't need to stress about our safety or health. We don't need to fret over past mistakes or regret. We don't need to be preoccupied with relationship issues or demands or responsibilities or any other anxiety. We can rest in Him and find peace in Him as we wait patiently for Him. In Him, we can be strong and take courage. Trusting and waiting for the Lord gives us courage regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the machinations of those who seek our destruction or breathe violence against us. We stand firm and we face whatever comes at us because we're waiting for Him. Our strength and courage comes when we are focused on Him and we're trusting and resting in Him. When we're hidden away and gathered in by Him, peace comes as we realize that we are firmly planted on the solid rock, Jesus Christ our Lord. Whatever our circumstances, whatever is causing us anxiety and fear, when it seems that the entire world is at war against us, when those closest to us, the ones we depend upon the most, fail or turn against us, and when adversaries are breathing violence against us, we can find peace and safety and rest. In Him, we can find confidence to face every trial, every battle, every frustration, and any fear. By seeking His face, dwelling in His house, beholding His beauty, meditating in His temple, we can weather any storm. He will gather us to Himself. He will hide us, protect us. He is our light and salvation. Whom shall we dread? What can make us anxious or fearful? We are His children, and He cares for us. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." There's a song that we sing, one of the hymns that is very good, that I would like to just go over a couple of the verses from that. It says, "Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do, and they who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Let's go before him in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you that we have the rich privilege of being able to turn to you, to seek your face. And we thank you, Father, that in Christ Jesus we have access to the very throne of grace. Whenever we're anxious, whenever we're hurried, whenever we're worried, Father, we have a resource that the world does not know. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that your loving kindnesses are everlasting. And we thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you that we can depend on you. You're a solid rock, a firm foundation, a stronghold in the day of trouble. We thank you, Father, that you have given us this word. We thank you for the encouragement we find there. And pray that you would allow the rest of the day to be a day of worship and enjoyment of your word and your people. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. A little bit early, but not too bad. So you're free to go and enjoy the snacks.